Yes, hello everybody. Ewan Spence here once more. It's your PlayStation show number 127, bringing you a quick, short, sharp look around the world of Sony PlayStation. Still in that changeover period, we'll be looking at the PlayStation 3s and all that going forward into the spring and summer, finally getting them on board. But for now, it's a look ahead both to the NGP, which I promised to do last week, and one of my favourite mini-games of the moment, Aero Racer from Halfbreak. So yes, thank you all very much for your welcome messages, and is glad to be back just in time also for next week's top five traveling things, which has been an annual tradition, and it's good to be doing that once more. Right then, as I promised last week, what do I think of the two new PlayStation systems that come out? We spoke about the PlayStation phone from Sony Ericsson last week. Now it is the turn of the powerhouse, the brick, the NGP, the next generation portable, or the next generation PlayStation, or however they are calling it. This is a monster of a machine. 5-inch screen, which is exactly twice the pixel size of the original PSP, 960 by 544. Makes it really, really easy to play old games. You just double the pixel them. 4-core ARM Cortex A9 CPU. I can't even pronounce the thing. That's how powerful it is. 543 megahertz GPU, the SGX 543 MP Star. I can manage to pronounce that okay. Those are big, hefty internals. A touchscreen, both on the front of the device and also touch pads on the back. It's not screen, but it just knows where your fingers are touching it. Six-axis motion inside, same as your PS3 controllers. Three-axis digital compass, a D-pad on the controls. 12 major buttons, including your standard star cross star spinny thing and everything. Oh, you know the ones I mean, and all your right buttons and start playing everything. Dual analog sticks, been asking for that a long time. Wi-Fi, BG and N, 3G connectivity for a mobile phone network, Bluetooth 2.1 with EDR on it. This is cutting edge specs. So cutting edge that it Sony have put a proprietary memory card format in it. This is Sony after all. The NVG card will mean that SanDisk will be busy cranking out clones as fast as you can say, wow, that's pricey for a 4 gig bit of memory when I can use a USB stick. There we go. Look, first impressions. This machine is, it's big, it's bulky, it's masculine, and I want one. I know it is going to be horribly, horribly expensive. I know that there will be backwards compatibility issues when I look down at the UMD collection that I've built up since 2004 when the first PlayStation Portable came out. And look, it's never going to be as big or as popular or sexy as the Nintendo 3DS. That will get the plaudits, the light, the fluffy games, exactly the same as the DS and the DS Lite does just now. But quite frankly, I am glad Sony has not put gimmicky 3D into the NGP. I'm not marker mode. It's just not needed. A good game will create the illusion of 3D. Remember something like Double Dragon? It had 3D in it. You didn't need a funky stereoscopic effect to actually make it happen. Let me just touch briefly on that cost again. Yes, I will pay. I'm expecting this to be £600 to £700. Okay, it does have a SIM card in it, which means you'll probably be able to get it on a mobile phone contract and a data plan, which will bring the price down maybe to about £300 or £400. I would consider that. But given the amount of enjoyment and flexibility that I've had out of the original PSP, both of the PSP 1000 and the 2000 as well, which I both have, you know, that was a great investment at the time. Even without the podcast, and it still delivers. As I said, I'm going to be flying next week to South by Southwest, and it is the PSP that will be entertaining me on the 767 because it doesn't have the back of the seat video. It just has one screen, which will probably be showing something with Meryl Streep on it. No, thank you. I'll watch Unstoppable, but that big thing with trains and Denzel Washington and the guy who played Captain Kirk in the last Star Trek movie. That's what I want to watch on a plane. The PSP lets me do that. Okay, it's a fixed battery. That's the way things are going. But there again, at the same time, I carry a portable charger, and it's really hard to get an official Sony battery. When you go on eBay and Amazon, everybody keeps sending you clones. I'll have a USB-powered charger from ProPorta. Thank you very much. I just love the look of this device. Sony have made a decision that they are going to hit the specs out the park. It is going to be pricey, but it is going to be a platform that's going to be last. Look, the PSP, as I said there, announced 2003, unveiled May 2004, on sale December 12th, 2004 in Japan. We're now 6 years and 3 months down the line from the initial sale. You can still buy them in the shops. You can still buy the game titles in the shop. And there's more stuff coming out online. A 6.5 year long gaming platform. And it will still run probably for another 2-3 years as well, once you look at the PlayStation Store and the minis. That's a fantastic success. It's something close to 70 million units sold. It's not, okay, it's not a home run like the DS, but it's been profitable, it's been good, and it's been a fun ride. And if Sony are saying, do you want to come on for another ride and we'll do the same again, count me in. Simple as that. The NGP, I want. I'm looking forward to it. And if you're any sense in PlayStation and everything, you should want it too. Even if it curtails a little ding, ding, ding noise. Right then, Aero Racer. Let's go old school. I mean, we've just been looking for the NGP. Aero Racer is as old school as you are going to get in the mini. It's a racing game. The name gives it away. But it's not with planes. It's with hovercraft. They don't specifically say hovercraft anywhere, but it feels like a hovercraft. Essentially, it's a futuristic racing game. You have a car, hovercraft, vehicle, whatever. It has almost no grip. So when you turn and put the acceleration on, you still have that component over the direction you were going in before you went round. Think of the little ship in Asteroids. You know, you'd spun it, it still kept going even though it was pointing another way, and you had the thrust going. It's like a hovercraft. And it's top down. No fancy 3D views, no ray trace graphics, no impressive distance effects. It's top down. With very little friction, an overpowered hovercraft. It's just wonderful. I mean, yes, you could just drop the power, or you could power slide around everything, but that is not the key to winning. And this is the thing that lifts it even more. You could just drive sliding around corners, but it's not the fastest way. The fastest way is to go right to the outside of the corner and run up against the wall like a skateboarder on a grind, just in front of the wall, and let that sort of thrust push back on your craft and help slingshot you around. Not only does it help you turn faster, it accelerates the vehicle as well. You also have acceleration patches on the floor along with some sticky patches as well. So the skill is getting as close as you can to the wall without hitting the wall, because then you just basically stop and have to build up your speed again and move around and power slide and have four other hovercraft on the pitch as well. It would be nice if you could hit those other hovercraft rather than just driving through them as if they were ghosts, but you know, it's a mini game. They're probably on a tight schedule and minimal budget. I will let them away with that because there's a lot of gameplay here. There are 3 skill levels. You have a Grand Prix of 4 Grand Prix with 5 circuits each that you can go through, beginner and intermediate and expert. You have a campaign, which is basically lots of mini challenges that you have to complete. There are 7 grids that you have to go through, and when you do one challenge, then that opens up the next couple of challenges and so on and so on and so on, like a branching format. There's a quick race mode. You can race very quickly. And there's a party mode, not multiplayer. This would be an interesting multiplayer. What you do is you do a challenge, which is get around this circuit as fast as you can in one lap. You pass it on to the next person who tries to beat your time. They have 4 chances. And it passes round the group until only one player has set the best time. Then everybody who's still in gets another go and another go. And essentially it's like who can do the best thing, and everybody gets the same circumstances to try it out every time. Really like this one. And it is a fun thing, especially to pass around when you're stuck in an airplane or a bus or anything. Look, it's pretty quick to get into this game. The learning curve is a bit juddery. It's tough, tough, tough. Ooh, easy, easy, easy. And then there's the expert, just working out exactly how close you can to be a pro. But there's a nice jump about 10 minutes into play that means you get the game. When you move up to higher skill levels, faster enemy hovercraft who are racing around with you, again, you just got to increase your own skill to get that. I would have liked to seen some more sort of high scores, personal tracking of what you're doing, best lap times and so on in the game. But for a mini that's under £3, this is forgivable. I mean, you've probably got about 2 to 3 weeks gameplay in here, to be honest. And after that, I don't think that I'll be coming back to Aero Racer. But right now, it's still one of my favourites. It proves to be great value for money. And it is recommended by me for pretty much everybody. Right then, Aero Racer, of course, is available in the PlayStation Network Store. You can get that on your device or through any of the PC, whatever they're calling the media download application on your Windows device nowadays. grab it from there. Right, next week, as I said, it's going to be the top five traveling lists. Week after that, probably Shift Extend to review and some UNDs as well. I'm going to do my best to pick up the next MLB game while I'm over stateside. If you're in Austin at all for South by Southwest, give me a shout out. I am the guy in the green kilt called Ewan. If it's a red kilt, he's called Tam. Don't worry, he knows where to find me. Just give him a nudge anyway. And I'll catch you back here for the next PlayStation show next week. Ciao for now.